Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life. We hope that you are starting your day in a positive way. And I do want to remind you to download our podcast. And, of course, that's on Apple, iHeart, all the platforms. And that is the Kim Pagano Show. Of course, I want to give out our phone number here, and that is 805-419-0008. And also, I want to remind you, in a couple weeks, we've got the Taste of Camarillo coming up. And, of course, the Brew Fest right after that. And we've been giving tickets away to the Brew Fest. And we hope that you've already received a couple of them. But we'd love to give some more away. So if you are interested, call in right now at 805-419-0008. Also, I want to remind you that you can stream us here on kvta.com, or you can go to our social and listen there, or our podcast an hour after it airs here. I love to start our show with something uplifting and setting goals. How many of you set goals? I set goals every single day, but that is really the first step in turning the invisible into visible. If you can see it, feel it, hear it, you can actually achieve it. So with that, I am excited. We have a great show for you today. And again, if you want to be on the show, you want to share your business, share your passion, or you know somebody, please reach out to us. That same phone number. You can text us at 805-419-0008. Also, if you need some help in your business and just a little find maybe those blind spots, reach out to me. I would love to help you as a business coach and as a media coach. Let's get that message of yours to monetize. So with that, let's welcome our first guest, Marianne Howard. Her book, Rest, I love this, just really overcoming spiritual fatigue. And so Miriam's humor, warmth, and transparency has helped her teach, equip, mentor, and invest in transgenerational discipleship. I love this. And so we're going to talk a little bit about this. And so many times, what's the one thing that might be holding you back? I know for me, sometimes it's fear, and I don't want to fear anything. I want to walk through it. And so a lot of times if we don't know something, we just stop it. But let's just work through it. So again, let's welcome Marianne.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. And talk to us a little bit about who you are. I kind of mentioned a few things. But how did you overcome spiritual fatigue, and what exactly does that mean to you?
That's great. Great question. So I am a Christ follower. I'm a wife. I'm a wife to a pastor. I'm a mother of two teenage boys. I'm a doodle mom.
Did you say a doodle mom?
A doodle mom, golden doodle mom.
Oh, here. Okay. Golden doodle. Oh, my favorite. I love those. Yes. Okay.
And so I'm a friend. I'm helping my kids do lots of different things. I own my own business in marketing. And so I'm very busy. There's lots and lots of pulls and tugs and different things going on in my life. And part of the reason why I wrote this book is because I feel like I operate at an unhealthy pace. I feel like I spend a lot of my days distracted. And I started to look at that in my spiritual life. And just to give a good working definition of what spiritual fatigue really is, it's a condition of the heart where we feel spiritually dry and emotionally empty. And so what I wanted to do with this book is spend the first half of the book talking about the resistance chapters and the ways that rest is being compromised in our lives spiritually. But then I spend the back half of the book walking you through a roadmap and to redeem rest and understand that the giver of rest really is Jesus, and that I think sometimes we reach for the wrong things to give us rest. And so my hope is that you work through and move through a roadmap to receive the right kind of rest. It's the rest that restores.
Okay. So really just being restored and almost like filling your own cup, correct?
Correct. Yeah. I think oftentimes we get in this, well, as Americans, I mean, we're overworked, underrested, and overcommitted in every area. And so it's compromising our soul and our soul's connection with God. And so I think oftentimes Song of Solomon 1 verse 6 says, "They made me keeper of the vineyard, but my own vineyard I have not kept." And that is such a great passage, because so many times, even as a woman and a business owner and a ministry leader, I'm so busy taking care of everybody else's vineyard, everybody else's yard, making sure they get to church, making sure they get to practice, making sure they get here, and making sure everybody else's quote unquote yard is green and watered and lush. But when I take a look at my own soul, spend time with God looking at my own soul, I'm taking care so much of everybody else that I'm neglecting my own vineyard, my own soul care.
Wow. And as a woman, okay, of four children, now four grandchildren, a couple businesses like you, and I used to do hair. I was a hair therapist. I still do. And now I'm a business coach, because I feel like I've already been doing that this whole time. And I feel like the way you run your life is the way you usually run your business. And so if you can clean that end up, right, you can clean the other end up. And I just feel like sometimes we forget to put ourselves on that list. And I want to say my husband feels the same way sometimes. Like, we're all taking care of everybody else, but we needed to, like, I mean, it really goes back to that oxygen of taking care of ourselves first.
Yeah.
Then we can
right.
help as many people. And so many of us feel burned out, overwhelmed, stressed. Why do you think that is?
I think lots of things are at play. I don't think it's a one-size-fits-all enticement, if that makes sense. I think
correct.
Lots of things are at play. I think each one of us is distracted and divided in different ways. I think on the list, efficiency, speed, productivity, achievement, self-sufficiency, and convenience, they can kind of get in the way and compromise our soul care. I think also our value and worth kind of get attached to being in demand. And so we get addicted to the need to be needed rather than the need for God to move. And that's a dangerous place to be.
Yeah. Marianne, I love where this is going. And I love, I kind of learned this. And I think I am like a total, this is probably my path. And I've really learned to change it. But some people think that they are being productive when they're busy. But are they being busy, or are they, you know, producing? And so I used to think, oh, I'm busy, so I'm making progress. But I wasn't. I was just busy. And so it's like really taking this time to really itemize what needs to happen and check it off. I love checking things off. What's your thought on that?
Absolutely. So kind of speaking to that, and I dive into a whole chunk in my book about the burden of busyness, exactly what you're saying. It's a burden. And we think, and oftentimes, to be honest with you, busyness can be an escape for us to, you know, dealing with some of our heart issues. And kind of where I attach that is I talk a lot about distraction, and busyness can be a form of distraction. And did you know I recently read a statistic that says people now lose concentration after 8 seconds? And that basically means that we have the attention spans of goldfish.
Wow.
That's an interesting statistic. And when you think about distraction, it is working against your devotion. So that's what distraction does. And how you shift from distraction to devotion is with your attention. And if you don't mind, I'd like to give just five suggestions on how to fight distraction in your life so that you can care for your soul. Number one, we've got to slow down. I have a new driver in my house, and I'm in his car, and I find myself getting in his car and holding firm to the door, and I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And so that's number one. We've got to whoa, whoa, whoa. We've got to stop and slow down. We've got, you know, scripture talks about in Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God. And when you read that in context, it's be still so that you can know that he is God. So we've got to slow down. We've got to slow down our pace. Number two, we've got to examine our habits. We've got to develop distraction-reducing habits. We've got to minimize the chirps and the dings in our lives so that we can evaluate what's compromising soul care. Number three, you've got to be attentive. Pay attention to what you're paying attention to. I heard a great quote years and years ago that's been very formative for me, and I write about it in my book. What you think about, you care about, and what you care about is what you're going to chase. I want to say that again. What you think about is what you care about, and what you care about is what you're going to chase. So be attentive, but guard your devotion. Number four, practice listening. Create time and space in your life to listen. We have to slow down, and we've got to have ears to hear and savor God and his word. He's the giver of rest. And so we've got to slow down and practice listening around us and get an awareness. I'll be honest with you. When we're living at a crazy, hectic pace, we cannot love the people around us well. They're only getting half of us. They're getting the distracted and divided versions of us. And then last but not least, we've got to be intentional. And I have an icon with a target with a heart in the middle. And we've got to develop disciplines to move towards rest. And what discipline does is it brings the distracted parts of our lives back together. That's why they're important. And so we've got to make a choice each and every day to be intentional. We've got to starve our distractions and feed our focus. Starve your distractions and feed your focus in the right way. Feed your devotion to Jesus. Feed your devotion to God, because that's where you're going to get restorative rest.
I really like that. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's interesting, like, you know, you can have that quiet time that you are working on yourself, your soul, your business, your family, whatever it is, and you get a text or you get something and it just hijacks you. And now you have, it's like we don't start all over. We're like, we lost where we were going.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm kind of a statistical nerd, because when you're in marketing, you're studying people's behaviors often. And just to give you some really crazy statistics in light of what you're saying about just the constant chirps and dings and distractions and what it does to our productivity and what it even does to our soul, because it really does, you know, erode away at it. But number one, men and women are spending 12 hours a day consuming some form of media, 12 hours a day. Yeah. And the average person's mind wanders 47% of the time. So half the time you're doing one thing, you're thinking about something else. And can I just say, the one that like shocks me the most in my heart is that we tap, swipe, and click our device 2,617 times per day right now.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
And that's just so crazy. Distraction, this is really good to be aware of what it's doing to us. Distraction will make intimacy with God impossible. Distraction will cultivate self-centeredness. It really will. It makes us self-sufficient, like we've got this on our own. Number three, distraction will feed discontentment. Oh, and it so does. It feeds discontentment. It makes us look around and glance around, comparing, coveting, and competing, and we think the grass is greener on the other side, but the grass is greener where we water it. And then last but not least, distraction, it will rule an unprioritized heart, where it makes us flaky, where we're not following through with commitments because we're so divided.
So being divided is meaning so many distractions. I guess it really just made a full circle, correct?
Yeah. I think too, when you're battling distractions and you're navigating a ridiculous pace, I spend a whole chapter talking about the pace of our lives. And you know, and just on a side note, the more you increase the speed of your life, your capacity to love others well, it will be compromised. And what happens is when we're living that way, we miss the needs of those around us, and it begins to make our relationships shallow. We've got to slow down to see people. We've got to slow down to rest. We can't love like Jesus without offering others our unhurried, undistracted, attentive regard.
I love it. Okay, so you talk a little bit about life ignoring silence. Talk to us about that.
So we live in a culture that makes us comfortable with noise and uneasy with silence. And I spend a lot of time, one whole chapter on cultivating spiritual disciplines, but not like the common ones, like, you know, read your Bible, pray. Those are important, but I'm actually talking more about spiritual disciplines of silence, solitude, stillness, and surrender. I spend a whole chapter diving into what those are and what those mean. And so I personally have a noise addiction, which is a form of avoidance, just to be very transparent, and sometimes spiritual avoidance. And so God calls us to quietness and attentiveness. And silence can sometimes strike us as unimportant and uncomfortable and even threatening, but it makes room for listening. It gives us the freedom to observe, and it opens us up to the entry of peace and invites us to know our limitedness and God's vastness. That's what
I love it. Marianne, this has been really amazing. I want to have you back because we barely dove into it. I'd love to get your book. And and we are at the end of our time right now, but please share our show with everybody. I'm going to get you back on because I think we can talk so much more.
Absolutely.
Thank you. And, of course, your book, Rest, Overcoming Spiritual Fatigue. Grab a copy of this. I'm telling you, it's going to help you. Thank you so much, Marianne.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, we're going to take a really quick break. You are listening to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. When we come back, we're going to learn how to work a room. If you are a networker business, we're going to talk with Susan Rowan. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to empower your child with the skills they need to safely enjoy the water? Kim O'Brien with Survival Swim with Kim, Infant Aquatics, teaches self-rescue swim skills to children of all ages. Self-rescue skills can save a child's life if they accidentally fall into the water. After losing her daughter to drowning, Kim became a certified survival swim instructor to help families in Ventura County protect their children. Survival Swim with Kim teaches kids 6 months and up how to roll and float independently. Don't wait. Check out survivalswimwithkim.com. That's survivalswimwithkim.com or call Kim at 805-620-7177. That's 805-620-7177.
TNT Anger Management Services knows that sometimes we get overwhelmed at work and home with our deadline. Try these three tips to help you regain order and focus. Number one, staying focused on the priority should be your main objective. Number two, we all know the word multitasking is highly overrated, so try to keep it simple. Number three, set boundaries for yourself, eliminating side talk and chatter, which can be really disrupting when you have a deadline. These are just some ways to collect oneself, complete your lead task. For more information, visit tntams.com. Or if you're experiencing a lack of focus and anger, please feel free to call Norman Thatcher, the facilitator and owner of TNT Anger Management, directly, 818-264-6255. That's 818-264-6255, or go to tntams.com. Manhattan of Camarillo, located in the heart of the beautiful Santa Rosa Valley, is a locally owned, multi-regional classic Italian restaurant with an extensive wine list. You'll be greeted with warm, friendly, attentive service. Wednesday evenings from 3 to 8 p.m., Manhattan of Camarillo offers a signature three-course menu for $25. For a bit more casual atmosphere, check out Trivia Thursdays in their beer garden with a full bar and craft beer selections. If you're into live music, come see some of Ventura County's premier local talent where you can dance the night away on a large dance floor. Manhattan of Camarillo's private wine and banquet room holds up to 40 people. Make your reservations today or book your next private party. Dinner is served Tuesday through Saturday with easy access off the 101 at Pleasant Valley Road.
Call today for a reservation at 805-388-5550.
That's 805-388-5550. Or go to themanhattanofcamarillo.com.
If you're a business owner or looking to be one, put Littlefoot Construction on the top of your list. Littlefoot Construction specializes in restaurant remodels, tenant improvements, office remodels. Call Littlefoot Construction with all your commercial and industrial needs. Littlefoot Construction works with big or small businesses. Or even if it's a dream, Littlefoot Construction will make your vision come true. Call Littlefoot Construction at 805-491-2759. That's 805-491-2759 for all your construction needs.
The Kim Pagano Show is proud to partner with the eWomen Network as they continue to help millions of women entrepreneurs achieve their goal of $1 million in annual revenue. The eWomen Network accelerated events take place the first Wednesday of each month at the beautiful Los Robles Greens in Thousand Oaks. The event will include lunch with wonderful speakers talking about relevant topics for your business and many opportunities to network with potential clients and make connections. Come join the fun and elevate your business. The eWomen Network only requires one lifetime member fee and a monthly fee to stay active on their website. Come find out how the eWomen Network is different than the other networking groups. Apply now on their website at
eWomenNetwork.com/chapters/Calabasas-665. That's eWomenNetwork.com/chapters/Calabasas-665.
Now back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, thank you so much for being here and starting your day in a positive way. I do want to remind you, reach out to us and get our newsletter that goes out every single Friday. All you have to do is either text us your email or you can call us. And our phone number here is 805-419-0008. That is the way that you find out about all the events that are going on and all our amazing guests that we have on. I am excited for my next guest. I love this. I have to, like, my husband's like, how did you meet all those people? But it's really, it's how to work a room. And Susan Rohan, 1.2 million copies, okay, bestseller. It's a classic. It's been sold in 14 countries. And I'm just honored to have Susan join us today. Susan Rohan, welcome, and thank you so much for being here.
Kim, I'm delighted. This is a pleasure for me.
Well, thank you so much. And how is your summer going, first of all?
Well, it's going well. I live up in the Northern California outside of San Francisco, and it's sunny, though a few towns away, it's foggy. So I am a happy camper.
There you go. I love it. I love it. And I just came from Arizona where it was 117. Now I'm back in California. So I tell you, you know, it's like you kind of blessed for wherever you are. So,
say, oh, but it's not humid, you're going, no, it's still 117.
Exactly, exactly. That's when you really feel the air conditioning is like a blessing. So, anyway, Susan, I am really excited because I do a lot of networking, and I know that since the pandemic, things have changed a little bit. There's a lot of virtual, but getting out and getting back in front of people is just a huge thing to do. It's like making contact in that first couple minutes of eye contact, the way you start, you know, dressed for success, all those things really matter. And so I think this is such a great thing to be talking about.
You know, the pandemic made us very adept at using online platforms, and so I'm grateful to Zoom. Otherwise, I would have missed out on, 4 funerals and 2 weddings.
Right.
Now we're getting back. We do still need to be a little smart about how we do that, but what's happened is we've lost some of our social skills.
100%. Yeah. You're right. I mean, people, there is a gift to that. And sometimes, I mean, I remember the first time, like, we could go back in public, I was like, ugh, I'm a hugger. And I had to, like, go, okay, that's probably not smart, you know, after you left a meeting and then you found out there's a couple COVIDs in there. And I'm like, oh, gosh, was that, you know. So I've had to relearn how to connect with people.
And that's the key, and that's what I want to say to all our listeners, is that we need to relearn to re-enter. But the other thing that we also need to do is to take a cue from people. So I wrote the original chapters on how to shake hands. Oh, my God, now I don't want to shake hands.
Exactly.
It's not even for COVID.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I don't want your cold, your cough, your preschool kids, you know, little things that they carry around. So now it's really a conversation. Say to people, hey, is it okay? Is it comfortable? And then you give people the chance to respond, and then you both do something comfortable, you know, with your greeting. I've done elbow bumps. I've done a few fist bumps. And, Kim, I'm a hugger, too.
Mm-hmm.
And, boy, did I have to relearn.
Yeah. You know, I feel like you were you've done this for so long that you were ahead of the game and really put this into working. How long have you had your book out there?
Okay. I have a feeling some people in our audience aren't as old as my book.
Okay.
Okay. That being said, the book first came out in 1988 in November.
Oh, I love that.
And the reason is I noticed here in San Francisco when I would go to, you know, Women Entrepreneurs and Bay Area, mm-hmm. whatever, in the San Francisco Chamber, I noticed that some people were uncomfortable. But more interestingly, a gentleman I knew went to an event that I was kind of being the featured person. And the microphone system died. And he saw me go over to everyone because I thought to myself, I'm being the featured person and I'm not going to get introduced. So I thought, introduce yourself. And he came up to me and he said, Susan, was a political consultant. He said, I've been watching you. He said, when you want to run for office, let me know. You're the only person I know that knows how to work a room. Boing, there was the title right there.
Oh, my God, I love that. And that's how things come to you, you know? I love it. So let's talk about working a room. I have a conference that I'm going to be going to in Austin. And, you know, there's a lot of people I know through online. But it does make you a little anxious, you know, to walk into a room. But it's like you got to own yourself. You got to put that beautiful energy out there and welcome people into your circle, correct?
Yes, but I want to say this just for clarification. There is a difference between knowing how to work a room and being a good networker. Because the statistics on shyness, which really increased in the couple years after I wrote the book, most people find walking into a room full of strangers, they think at the beginning it was 80%, to be daunting. By 19, I guess it was right after the book came out, it jumped to 93%. So I want all of our listeners to know, if you find walking into any room to give you a slight little discomfort, that means you're normal. What we can do to make ourselves comfortable in any room, and this is the former teacher speaking, is that we prepare. What I want to say, like, you're going to Austin, of course you're going to have to prepare. You're going to have to get your tickets and figure out how to get to the airport and where you're going to stay and what you're going to bring and, you know, what if it's cold in the hotel. So we really do think about things ahead of time. So I want to encourage people, even if you're just going to an event in your own community, you still have to prepare.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the things that I'd like to suggest is, prepare your own self-introduction. There may not be someone there to introduce you around. So prepare your self-introduction. And may I give three tips to what a really effective self-introduction is?
Well, I would love that.
Okay. You could tell I'm a former teacher. Take notes, everyone.
I like it.
First is to know that it's not a 30-second upchuck of an elevator speech.
Right.
Don't even think about the visual on that one. It's a 7 to 9 second pleasantry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're happy to meet people. A smile has to be on the face because you have to look like you're happy to meet people.
Right.
It's 7 to 9 seconds. Why?
Okay.
Because there was research on listening that indicated if you look at someone longer than 9 seconds, it's considered a glare. So it's 7 to 9 seconds. It's brief. It's upbeat. Second point is it's linked to the event you're at. You don't introduce yourself the same way you would at a friend's party as you would at a chamber event.
Right.
So link it to that event. Why? You give people context for why you're there, and then they know what to say to you. And then the third trait, which I learned from my very good friend, Patricia Fripp, excellent executive speech coach and speaker. She said, Roanne, tell people don't give their job titles. They're different at different companies, different at your own company. Give the benefit of what you do. And
so when you say that, like radio host, business coach, would you, or how would you explain that?
Okay, so let's say on your radio show, you give people positive, you say, I give people a positive outlook and actions and deeds to make their lives positive. And, oh, well, how do you do? Well, I have a radio show. Oh, and I also coach. So then they ask
I
that.
I love that.
You give people
very
enough.
Cool.
See, I say to people, oh, I turn people into mingling mavens.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
I love that.
And then they ask you, and then you're invited to speak. But here's the best tip of all. After you briefly answer that, we have to stop, look at the person, and say these words. And what about you?
Mm-hmm.
And invite them. And then you're in a conversation.
Right. I love that. I love that. That is, I mean, you just shortened basically what I do. I give you a positive outlook. How do you do that? Radio show and coaching. Correct.
Well, and who doesn't want to have a more positive outlook?
Yeah. Wow. Very cool. Very cool. Let me ask you, what are we going to find in your book? And do you go through each different, you know, like scenario so people can learn more about networking and you know, talking to a man versus a woman?
Okay. What you find in the book is it is really a guide, whether you're going, because I am actually going to my high school reunion in Chicago. And it was many years ago, it was that early reunion. Now I'm going to the late reunion. But how do you go to a reunion? How do you go to a trade show and conference? How do you show up at a friend's daughter's wedding? But it's all based on how you prepare. And it's important, if you see the book, I talk about the 5 roadblocks that stop us. By the way, number one, and I think the whole audience has heard this, we always heard, don't talk to strangers. Don't talk to strangers with the finger shaking. Be careful, don't talk to strangers. Kim, that is great advice sometimes in some situations. But when you're going to a conference of colleagues and peers in Austin, it's not good advice. I'm going to my high school reunion, well, here's the thing is, am I going to recognize them after all these decades?
Right.
You don't want to go, oh, I'm not going to talk to strangers. So I want to give the remedy, because that is such a big roadblock. Before you go anywhere, redefine a stranger. If I'm going to a benefit for the Leukemia Society, Kim, I'm going to know the people in that room support that wonderful organization, and a lot of them are there because they have a friend that's had leukemia, that they know someone who has maybe even participated in the research. There is a bond you already have when you are in the same room with people.
Right. Love that. I love that. And now, just curious, do men network better or work the room, or do women?
Well, glad you asked. I've been asked that a lot, and what I would say is we do it differently.
Okay.
And very often, men prefer the way women do, because here's the difference. And not all women, because some women are not this way, but we are relational.
Right.
So we are the welcomers. A lot of us were acculturated to be open and engaging and welcoming. So that's not so much what men have heard.
Mm-hmm.
Very often there's a difference between that relational networking and the transactional. And while some women are relational, some are transactional, some are both. I would say that we should embrace the best of how each person does it. And we don't even know as making a stereotypic, I would say this, what each of us can do, and I certainly did it to write the book, is to look at people who are doing this, what look like naturally, who are the minglers, who are the socializers, who are the welcomers, who make you feel comfortable. See what they do. Watch how they do it. Make note of it. And try it the next time you're in a room.
I like that. I like that. Now, I know you talk about in your book the concept of referrals is in The Secret of Savvy Networking.
Yes.
And you actually wrote this over 25 years ago. Talk to us briefly about that.
Okay. Actually, my How to Work a Room is so famous worldwide. Secrets of Savvy Networking, also a bestseller, and I think that one's only in 9 countries. But I wrote this many years ago, is that referrals must be earned, and they're earned by way of relationships. And that we think people know what we need. Kim, that's not true. People don't know what they need. How could they know what we need?
That's
so
true.
It is fair to say to someone, you know, I'm looking to expand my coaching business with people who are interested in developing more positive attitudes. If you know of someone who has that interest, please feel free to give them my contact information. That way you're not nailing someone and backing them in a corner and asking them, give me your best referrals. Because
right.
If they don't know you, you haven't earned that right to ask. Conversation and connection is how we build that, I would say, foundation so that we can, I call it the let people know. Because if you let people know, I tell you what, I used to have a Toyota Tercel. I never even knew what one was. As soon as I got one, that's all I could see on the freeway.
That is true. That is very true.
So
you buy a red car, and you all of a sudden you see all red cars. You know, you're pregnant. All of a sudden, everybody's pregnant. So,
That'd be an that one I'd love to hear.
I have
a red car,
neither.
Too.
Well, there you go. I love it. Now, let me ask you, of course, following up with people. But so now you've met these new people, and what do you do to keep in touch with them? How does that work? Do you talk about that?
Yes, and here is something that sets the successful people apart from those who, there are people that know how to work a room, but they are lousy networkers. They don't follow up. They don't have a network. They're not actually interested. They don't do the follow-up. Follow-up is the key to building your business, building your career, building a network.
Right,
having
as
a
they
good
say,
life.
The fortune is in the follow-up, right?
Right. And so the beauty of today is we have so many different ways to follow up.
Right.
Some people will give you their cell phone. Send them a text if they give you the cell phone. Great meeting you at the last gala. Look forward to reconnecting. Send them a text. You can still, I know this now is considered the old school way, you can still send an email. Some people don't read their emails until they have a scattered thunderstorm and they're ready to check their emails because they can't go out and do anything.
Exactly.
But you can still send an email. You can send a LinkedIn message. You can send, if they have a Twitter account or a Thread account, you can send them a DM. Here's the other thing you can do. I know this is going to sound extremely old-fashioned. You can take that little computer that's in your hand, find the phone app, and leave them a message.
Right, you mean like talk into it?
Yes.
Yes, 100%. And you know what? Another thing that I've learned to do is take a picture with them, and then, boom, you send them a little thing, and it's so nice meeting you. I love it. We need to get together, you know.
I knew someone that did that with Polaroids.
Yeah.
Back in the
now
day.
Now you could do it with your pictures. You know what? I love this. I could talk to you forever. There's so many more things. I would love to have you back on because I love this, and I think that so many people need your help. Susan, please share our show with everyone, download our podcast, and follow me throughout our social. I'm going to have you back because I love and I want to teach everybody how to work a room, and you are the person that's just going to take them to that next step.
Thank you. I'd love to be back, and I just wish everyone always say yes when the invitation comes, when you're available, and then go.
I love it. I love it. Well, thank you again, and you have a great rest of your weekend, and I'll talk to you next time.
Thank you, Kim. Be well. All right. Thanks.
Thank you. You
bye.
Too. All right. Well, again, you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. My next guest is Erin Lopez and Lisa Cox. We're going to be talking with them, and, of course, their book is called I Decide. These two powerhouse women have come together to write an empowering book. Let's take a really quick break, and we'll be right back.
Manhattan of Camarillo, located in the heart of the beautiful Santa Rosa Valley, is a locally owned, multi-regional classic Italian restaurant with an extensive wine list. You'll be greeted with warm, friendly, attentive service. Wednesday evenings from 3 to 8 p.m., Manhattan of Camarillo offers a signature three-course menu for $25. For a bit more casual atmosphere, check out Trivia Thursdays in their beer garden with a full bar and craft beer selections. If you're into live music, come see some of Ventura County's premier local talent where you can dance the night away on a large dance floor. Manhattan of Camarillo's private wine and banquet room holds up to 40 people. Make your reservations today or book your next private party. Dinner is served Tuesday through Saturday with easy access off the 101 at Pleasant Valley Road.
Call today for a reservation at 805-388-5550.
That's 805-388-5550. Or go to themanhattanofcamarillo.com.
Showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, thank you so much for joining us throughout our whole show. We've had some incredible guests. And of course, when I want to have them back, I love them. I think they've got some amazing value. And of course, my next guest is Erin Lopez and Lisa Cox. And of course, two powerhouse women. I love powerhouse women. I think of myself as one, and of course they just wrote this book I Decide, and it just pretty much says it right there. But Lisa Cox is the CEO of Live Clean. Lisa is also well known throughout the home-based direct sales and social retail industry for her experience, knowledge, and passion. And Erin is a wife, a mother, and an entrepreneur behind Lopez Lifestyle, a well sought after speaker, author, leader in the direct sale industry also. And I am so excited to talk with them. And of course, ladies, welcome.
Thank you. We're excited to be here.
Yes, well,
thank
cool.
you so much, Kim. It's an honor.
Thank you. And I'm excited to hear a little bit more about, I want to say a movement, making an impact with the I Decide movement. Erin, let's start with you. What was the inspiration for the development of I Decide book?
Oh, my gosh, I love this. Well, you know, as you heard a little bit, Lisa and I are entrepreneurs, and we have had a lot of success in our businesses helping, especially women, find freedom financially, being able to raise their babies and not have guilt around it. And we had a moment a while back that success is great, but we wanted to do something even bigger than that. And we both had it on our hearts that we wanted to do something to inspire others to make a decision. And there's so many different areas of our lives that that could be in, whether it be health and wealth and finances, and the list is endless. And we just had this vision that we wanted to start this movement of creating this, you know, ability to make a decision and decide to change your life. And so we have been able to gather these stories to inspire and motivate others. And we're watching it all unfold, and it has been nothing short of amazing so far.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And really quick, I want to say, making a decision, that sometimes I used to be like, gosh, I don't know if I want this or that or this or that. And I've learned that money loves speed, okay? Whether it's right or wrong, you need to make that decision right away. And you can make another decision if that's not the right one, but staying in limbo land doesn't serve anyone. Lisa, how do you think and want people, how do you think people will benefit from this?
Well, you know what? We hope that they'll find and see the strength within themselves. And something that kind of came when we were talking about this book and all the different Zooms and as we wrote this book together, I always have this vision of the strength of my hands, like making a strong fist and saying, I'm the one that decides what happens in my life. I am the only one that can do that. And so we want to give that to people, to let them find their strength within them to make the changes that they know they need. So many people have something within them. They're like, I know I need to change my health. I know I need to eat healthier, or I know I need to work on my finances or my friend group or the people I surround myself with. I know these things, but I don't feel like I have the strength. They might feel stuck or frustrated. They may even be kind of at a low point in their entire life, or they're just stagnant. And so we are just hoping and praying that this book gives them that strength so they make that decision and then start executing the steps and using our tools in the book to make it happen. And yes, it doesn't always take that one decision. They could fall back, but then we're hoping they take what we're giving them to get them back on their, you know, to lift themselves up really fast and continue to go forward so that they get to see the results they truly, truly need and want.
I love that. I love that. Erin, really quick, what was the one thing that you did that exceeded your expectations when you both began writing this book?
Oh my gosh. Well, besides the laughter and the tears and the countless, you know, hours we spent putting this together, really it's the feedback that we've gotten. I mean, we have heard from people everywhere. Just so you know, it is a quick, easy read that, you know, we've heard from so many people of just, oh my gosh, I put your book down and I have been in my closet and I haven't come out. And it just, it spoke to me. And that to us has been just exceeded anything we could have ever imagined. I mean, we had big goals for this, but we never dreamed of just how much it would touch us to hear from others of how much this book would really impact their lives in reading it, but hopefully in just moving forward as well. So that has
Erin,
been
when you say, you said that people are getting in their closets, do you talk about that in your book?
I think that, you know, you grab a book, and I say closet too because there is such a great story that involves a closet in our book about a friend of ours of waiting for a UPS truck to be delivered. And so I think as women, you know, especially in summertime, we're hiding, we're gathering those moments where we can, you know, whether it be by the pool or in the bathroom or the closet. And I think that people are picking up this book hoping to be inspired. But it's definitely become something that you can't put down. And like I said, it's a quick read. It's a powerful read. But hearing that, you know, wherever you may be of picking up that book and not being able to put it down in a short amount of time, it just blows us away every time.
I love it. Lisa, question for you. First of all, I know you both probably have mentors. I want to hear about that. But what does success mean to you both, and what are the rules for success to you both?
Well, to me, success means freedom. It means that I get to make the decisions for where I'm going to spend my time, when I'm going to work, where I'm going to work. It just means that I can really spend my days the way that I want to.
And I learned early on in my career, as I started to rise up in what I was doing in direct sales, and I learned that the best part of success is when you kind of start to feel those moments where you're like, I am in charge of my day now, and I get to decide what I get to do. But then turning around and teaching others to be able to do the same thing, there's no better feeling in the world than when you can serve somebody else in it and see that you've created a lifestyle of freedom for them with what you've taught them and how you've helped them. So that, I think it's a success is a feeling in your heart of happiness, because you're kind of at that place where you're like, and it may not be even at the very top of where you want to go, but in your heart, you're just like, this feels good. I've done a good job. I've now created a lifestyle that I don't have to take a vacation from, because it feels like a wonderful vacation every day in my life. And so that is success, and the happiness that we can find in our everyday, that to me creates a healthier person, a healthier mindset, and all those things. So that is success.
I have to say, I 100% agree with both you ladies, because when I first started, I was a hair therapist. I used to make people look good and feel good. And then I went into a woman's group and started helping women all over the world to empower them to live their best life. And then I had my radio show, and now I'm helping people in their business to be empowered to live their best life, not only look good, feel good, do good. And when you have all of those together, oh my gosh, it's the biggest gift that I'm giving other people at the same time as giving myself. Mm-hmm. And to me, so I love where you ladies are going. Who and what inspires you the most? Erin, let's talk with you.
Well, first of all, it sounds like we're kindred spirits, all kind of driving in the same direction.
I love it.
Well, I mean, obviously, and I think Lisa would say the same. I mean, we both come from amazing parents that inspired us to do great things and to build upon us that, like, we can do anything. And, you know, it wasn't always easy, but I think that we both have been very blessed in that way. But honestly, what inspires us are people like you, you know, people that are inspiring others. And it's the people that we hope to inspire, and the stories that we have been told, the stories we can't wait to be told. That's what really gives us our inspiration. And that's why we're doing this, you know. And so I think at the end of the day, it's everyone else who inspires us. And we were given the gift, and we just continue to give it forward.
I love it. So let me ask you a question. First of all, I feel the same way. My parents gave me the best gift that you could do anything you put your mind to. And like you said, my dad used to say, pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and keep going on. Mm-hmm. I use that every single day with my children, with my coaching clients, with my peers, because life happens to all of us. But it's how we walk through it, and it's our attitude, and it's how we look in the mirror and see ourselves. And and so we have to constantly be our own cheerleaders. And so many people they lack that. That negative talk that they talk about brings them down instead of lifts them up. They wouldn't talk to anybody on the outside like they do to themselves. And so it's really managing your mind. That's one of the things that I'm teaching. The biggest thing is to manage your mind. So what would something that people don't know about you both learn from both of you?
You know,
Lisa,
I feel
let's
like,
go with you. Oh, go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. you know, I think what people that don't know us, but that have maybe read the book, they've learned very quickly that in life, and I agree so much with what you said, it's all about the mindset. We have a big chapter in the book, I Decide on Mindset, because we believe that exact same thing. If your mind isn't strong, then nothing around you is going to be working in the right direction. But something that people are surprised to learn about me and about us, I feel like when they meet us, because we try and work very professionally, we both work very hard, but that we are facing life with laughter and joy and make every moment and silly moments that we can create, because we feel like within that frame of mind and where we're just enjoying things and having fun, we just get a better response. And
I love that.
Yes.
Well, I would love to have both of you back and talk more about your book. But how do my listeners find you, find both of you, find your book, follow you? And I would love to, again, dive deeper.
We would love that, to dive deeper with you. You can go to idecidebooks.com, and we have some gifts and some giveaways, and that will lead you directly how to purchase our book. You can follow us at idecidebook on Instagram. And for myself, I am A. Lopez Lifestyle on Instagram, and I'll let Lisa let you know where to follow her. And I'm at Successful with Lisa on Instagram. And we love to meet people and talk about their I Decide moment. If anybody wants to contact us and share ours, we have some future books planned, and one of them is I Decide for Teens, because we know
where
in
are you
this
ladies
world
located?
That our teenagers need it.
I love it. Where are you ladies located?
I'm in Springfield, Missouri.
Yeah, and I'm in Houston, Texas. So we are besties in different cities.
Okay, very cool. Very cool. All right, ladies, we are at the end of our show, but stay on, because for 2 seconds, I'm going to end my show. I always end my show with a moment of happiness. I always say it's always like ends up being the right one, but decision determines your destiny. Man, how did I plan that? I had no idea. But guess what? Go out there and make a great decision. And again, decide. I love that. Ladies, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. Share our show with everyone, and follow me on social. And everybody out there, have a great rest of your weekend. Remember to download our podcast, and you can hear the rest of the show. It might seem crazy.